This is the Off the Break Podcast, your podcast dedicated to current movie theater news, operations, and insights from the people that book the movies. Now, here are your hosts, Cody, Kyle, and Ken.
And here we are again, just the two of us for Off the Break Podcast.
Yep, minus one Cody once again in like the span of 3 weeks.
Yeah, Kyle was out all week and
I still made time for a podcast.
With a cold, and now it's taking Cody down.
Yeah, unfortunately for her. Somehow I bounced back okay, though.
She gets to miss this, it's before the CinemaCon week, but we got a ton of trailers this week. Kyle has a lot of reviews, and we have big Ghostbusters opening.
Yes. And it seems to have to be a good start. We're recording this on Friday, so we were able to get the Thursday grosses in, and looks like it is an impressive $4.7 million, which is about on par with Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I think was $4.5 million, if memory serves me correct.
So that's awesome. It's a decent start, and that's more of what we expect to come next weekend with Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to make it into one syllable.
Oh, just one.
Yeah, it's one long word that only has one enunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah, there you go. That's better.
That's just what it sounded like.
Well, after the introduction of our swear jar, you'll have to go back a couple of episodes to see exactly what you have to swear to put money in the jar for it.
Yeah, that should be two episodes ago, I believe.
We're now on the fifth anniversary of the Disney Fox merger purchase.
Yeah.
Buyout.
I found that out a few days before we came onto the show, so I thought I would surprise. Well, it was supposed to be a surprise to you and Cody, but Cody missed out on this big event.
It's crazy that it's been 5 years. It feels like some days it was yesterday we were able to book things with them independently, and other days it feels like this is how it's always been.
Yeah, I guess it feels like it's never ending in terms of the ramifications that came with this merger as well. Like, I still feel, unfortunately, that they haven't quite worked out, like, how to promote the Fox movies, how to, like, release them. Some of them have been good, but some of them I still feel like they kind of missed the ball on. So it still feels like we're juggling and going through hoops on like how this is all supposed to work. So it's just crazy that it's been 5 years of this when it feels like it's been, I don't know, two.
Yeah. And it also is like unnerving when like this is what we go to when we think of two studios merging. And so when there were talks with Warner Brothers and Paramount, we're looking at merging, and now it looks like Paramount might sell its entire theatrical division.
Yeah.
So, which means a merger down the road, basically. Yeah. When you cut out the theaters or the film production side, and then somebody buys it, they're going to sell it to someone else. They're not right there to sit and see if we can make super cool movies.
Well, since you mentioned Paramount, do you also want to bring this topic up right now? There apparently seems to be a new potential buyer for Paramount.
There's always a potential buyer for Paramount.
Maybe some that we haven't even heard yet, that haven't made the headlines yet.
Right, yeah. And I don't know. I know the number was big. It was like...
I almost fell asleep at the wheel. $11 billion.
$11 billion.
A investment company called Apollo. Basically, their thing is doing what we're talking about. Hey, we will invest in you and reap the rewards.
Bump up your stock price and then sell you to somebody else, which bumps up the stock price again.
Bump up the stock price of this company you've never heard of.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Hey, they have Paramount Pictures.
I know. We're not in any place to talk about what this means for like big picture ramifications, but
go all in. Buy into them.
It's never a good thing when theaters are not owned by their own interest, and it's even worse when they're in a position with a investment company, because then it's a property to be moved and sold to someone else. And anytime these merge, there's less competition, which means there's less product. Because if there's like with Disney Fox, they never release titles back to back. They would never try to fight a superhero movie with another superhero movie.
God forbid.
Animation, you know, they space them out even further. So it becomes you know, a self-fulfilling prophecy of trying to kill the theaters indirectly.
And then they're like, why isn't it not working?
The theaters ended. It came at the hands of the investment banks.
Yeah,
it was like everything else in our lives.
No, you summed that up perfectly. It wasn't many of the other things that we could or could not name due to our new swear jar policy. But it turns out it was the bankers all along. It was the stockholders.
Right. And it's, you know, that we've had an awesome month as theater operators with Dune and Panda and now Ghostbusters opening. The one that didn't work out that we had reasonable hopes for was A Nice Movie that came out last weekend.
I know.
Called Arthur the King. That's a very coded word we've been using in our office as, why can't we just have more nice movies?
Yeah.
We need more nice movies that have fun surprises. You know, like Wonka was just a nice movie.
Mm-hmm.
Migration, nice movie. Boys in the Boat, nice movie.
It was a nice movie.
You're not, there's no agendas. There's no big stakes. Nobody's trying to destroy you on terms.
There's
or
no
weeks.
X's in between two familiar IP names.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of nice in Godzilla vs. Kong, but there's monsters fighting each other, so I'm in for that.
It's a different kind of nice. It's the kind of nice where you just see Godzilla headbutting Kong, and you go, nice.
It's two frat bros hanging out going, nice.
Yep.
That's the kind of nice that those are.
But here we want the type of nice for families, and we really hope that Lionsgate could have done that despite it being a crowded month, that they would be able to find their way through and get out to those families and say, hey, this is a movie that it's not animated. It can't be for adults too, but it's a feel good,
inspirational story
movie. And it has a dog.
With a dog.
It's a cute dog.
We talked about this before. The issue with this film, wasn't the promotion, it was the title.
That had something to do with it.
I think that's the biggest thing that was against it. If you have a dog in a movie that is an important part of the movie, even if it's in the trailer, you have to reference it in the title.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been, I haven't seen the movie. I don't know what the king refers to, but it could have been Arthur the dog. And it would have doubled that opening weekend gross.
I'm kind of going to burst your bubble here. I do remember the trailer and Mark Wahlberg at the end of it is like, Arthur the king. And I'm like, no, I'm sure there's some kind of context in this story that I'm not seeing in the trailer, but that doesn't quite work. Like you can't. That doesn't make sense.
Just because Mark Wahlberg said it doesn't mean it's true.
I know.
And I'm saying that from the land that, you know, believes that he can fly a pirate ship. Like an Uncharted.
I'm like,
this is totally possible, but a movie will not work if it has a dog in the title, if you don't reference the dog in some way.
Yeah, especially you have to do it in a better way compared to referencing it as like an Arthurian legend character.
Right.
Like Arthur the King makes me think a King Arthur adventure, and then I see a little puppy show out and I'm like, that those two things are the same. This is a completely different movie.
Right. Yeah, there's so many King Arthur movies, and that just from the name itself, because when you go into the box office, you look at what movies you're gonna see, you have a list of 8 movies at a theater and you see Arthur the King, it doesn't elicit any response.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I'll just go to Dune 2. They made a second one, so obviously it's good.
I've seen the first one.
Kung Fu Panda has 4. That's like twice as good as Dune 2. At least twice. I'm not a math guy. At least twice.
That sounds right.
But Kyle saw 3 new movies coming up this week, one that releases this weekend.
Just one short of 4 Kung Fu Pandas.
Yeah.
If you want to do the math.
So it's 1.25 times better than Godzilla. Don't ask me on the math. You saw Love Lies Bleeding, which opens in theaters today. Wide in theaters today.
Yeah, the widest release possible. I could see it being an A24 movie, as well as it being a movie that involves two women in love, that it's not going to work for every location. I'm understanding of that. So, especially in a crowded month such as March, where if you think your locations are better off playing like Kung Fu Panda or Ghostbusters over Love Lies Bleeding, I totally understand that. I get it. But if you are interested in thinking like this could be playable for your theater, if you think you have the audience who is interested in like a sex driven thriller that feels grungy and gross, but has like a really interesting love story involving two characters, as well as like a supporting cast of characters that everyone's kind of slimy and despicable. Yeah, I think this movie could work for, you know, the audiences that you think that it's going to work for. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be like having a massive wide appeal to it. But I still enjoy the movie. For those things I just listed, I found it interesting. I really liked the love story at the center of it. I liked that it wasn't shying away from trying to give its characters like hearts of gold necessarily. I liked that they had dirty pasts and like hidden secrets and like things that make an interesting thriller interesting. So I found it enjoyable, but just use this movie if you think you have the space for it and you think it works for some audiences who may be interested in a new A24 movie or a movie with this subject matter.
And then you got two screeners. The first one was for Arcadian, which is April 12th. It's a new Nicolas Cage apocalypse movie.
Yeah, from IFC. It was really nice of them to be able to give us a screener for this because I enjoyed this movie. The one downside is that Nick Cage kind of gets shooed away in the second half of the movie because his character kind of gets knocked out. He kind of gets beaten up so bad that logically it makes sense for him to have to like take time to recover, so you don't see a lot of him. You see more of him in the first half. He kind of plays a more straightforward character. He plays like a father who's looking after his two sons and is very protective because he's in this apocalyptic future, like where it's kind of the same as A Quiet Place, to where there's like creatures that you don't know like how they came on the planet, but they're on the planet now and they cause massive chaos. And it's kind of like that type of story, minus, you know, being able to hear words to it. So it's not verbatim like A Quiet Place. Anyway, what I really liked about the story though was that it still made it thrilling despite its low budget, and it made the creatures have like a slow build towards like seeing what they look like. And I think the designs of them come out really good and they come out really scary. Again, I wish I had more Nick Cage for this movie, but then again, I think the story is really about like the two brothers learning to take the next step to like have like a strong brotherly bond, so that way they can survive the apocalypse together. And I thought that that was enough of a crux to where it was interesting and entertaining.
Okay, so it's, would say, minimal Nick Cage.
Yeah.
I always count Nicolas Cage movies based on the amount of times he has his hands above his eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he's really going for it. You see the movies where he's craziest, he constantly has his hands on the top of his head or over his head.
He waves them around when he goes for it. That's
literally
for sure.
Going over the top.
Yes, yeah. Terrible. But no, you are accurate with like that measurement. It's definitely a much more
subdued
and not subdued and like still entertaining, because like he's an actor that knows how to work subdued well at the same time as like overdoing it. But this one, he's much more mild-mannered, even despite, you know, living in a post apocalypse world.
Yeah, and the last one you got a screener for was Boy Kills World.
Yeah.
Which is opposite of Arthur the King, which is a good title. And the trailer is interesting. It uses the voice of, I forget his...
H. John Benjamin?
Yes, H. John Benjamin, who's the voice of Bob's Burgers and Archer.
Mm-hmm.
And is a great voice, but the main character is mute. And then so he uses this narrator's voice inside of his own head to move the story along.
Yeah. And I don't know if it works for myself. I think just because I'm so aware of the voice of H. John Benjamin, of Bob, from Bob's Burgers, that it just felt too... I don't know, something about it just stood out too much. Like, it kind of works because at the beginning of the movie, they establish, like, you're hearing his inner voice, and it's that specific voice because he, like, stopped remembering after many years of, like, what his own voice sounded like before he went mute. But he remembers, like, a memory with him and his sister playing a video game, like an action video game, and the lead hero had like that had same that voice. Oh, okay. So he just implanted it into his own head. But I still think it's like so familiar with the times, probably, that that's why it still like didn't necessarily work. As well as, I think his inclusion, the voice's inclusion, was a last second decision, because there was times where the main actor, Bill Skarsgård, who we follow in this story, he has facial expressions and reactions that don't match up, in my opinion, to the voiceover. And it's like a 50-50 split of that. Like, it works, and then half the time it doesn't work. That being said, though, I think the voiceover does attribute to, like, the comedy and the style of comedy that's going on in this movie. I think it's kind of a good mashup of that and its action being half anime and half Deadpool, minus like the referential humor, although it does kind of have some bloody self-aware humor that kind of remind me of trying to be like Deadpool. So I wouldn't say it's like the strongest action movie that I'll see this year, but I still found it entertaining enough, but I still just saw those problems that didn't make me love it all the way through. But I could see it as a movie that you could take a chance on, and maybe you could get like a decent return on it, because I think the action is still pretty entertaining. I still think there are some laugh out loud moments, but it's just, it doesn't feel fully complete enough to where I could give it like a rousing thumbs up, but still some enjoyable moments, still an enjoyable plot, has a good emotional narrative to it that you've seen of him trying to avenge his family, and you know, tale as old as time, but it still works.
Well, speaking of rousing thumbs up, we've got 6 new big budget trailers this week.
Yeah, I was confused by the amount of trailers that got released this week, although you did mention that CinemaCon is coming next weekend or 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, starts on the 7th or the 8th.
The 8th, of and April. Then it goes to the 11th. Yeah. Right, so it's not the weekend.
Usually these they hold on to these until then, yeah, and make that big announcement and then release them on social media 30 seconds later. Mm-hmm. But no, we got solid trailers for all of these films and franchises.
Yeah.
Which out of these was your favorite? Because I think we have the same one.
Well, let's go down the list of what got released in case people haven't watched them yet. There was Harold the Purple Crayon. There was a new trailer for Furiosa. There was a new trailer for The Fall Guy. The first teaser trailer for Alien Romulus and Beetlejuice 2 came out. And then Monkey Man 2... Monkey Man had its second trailer.
Trailer 2.
Yeah.
So
no sequel yet.
which out of these was your favorite teaser or trailer?
I think I'm going to go with Alien.
Really? Surprise.
Only because I've seen enough of Furiosa already to where I'm already in. I've already bought the ticket. Like, I cannot wait.
You know what it is. You're just waiting.
I'm already excited for Hemsworth and for people to finally see how crazy and how awesome of a character actor he's about to be. But Alien Romulus, I really don't have any expectations when it comes to most Alien movies that get released, like Alien 1 and 2 are like peak for me. But Alien Romulus, I don't know, it brought me back to like Alien 1 in a good way. I felt a little bit scared, a little bit intrigued. I was feeling like it's sci-fi flavor, but also like it's graphic action flavor, despite it all being compacted into one teaser trailer, into like a 1 minute thing. So it got my anticipation for it. And I think it's coming out during like the lull of the summer.
Yeah, like towards the end of the summer.
Yeah, so that gives me hope that this could be like a surprise bump in the box office at that time.
Kyle, as a huge Alien and Predator fan, do not fall into this trap.
Oh boy.
Do not fall into this trap.
You're right, though. You're right.
The trailers are incredible. Mm-hmm. For every one of these movies that's ever come out, it's like, I can't wait to see that. They're in the Antarctic. This is going to be wild.
Yeah.
Like, they're on a planet. What is Prometheus?
Prometheus, yeah.
What's this going to be?
Michael Fassbender.
Michael Fassbender is going to be amazing. He's a great actor.
I know. I saw Covenant 2.
This is a callback to all of the originals every time. And then it's like, oh no. Like, and I'm in the same boat with Furiosa. I kind of know what it is. So whatever they show me is, you know, a little bit more, but I'm just ready to eat the whole meal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want an appetizer anymore. I'm ready to
eat. Honestly, don't think they needed a second trailer. I thought they nailed it the first time.
Yeah. Fall Guy was kind of more of the same. You knew what it was.
Yeah.
Same with Monkey Man. You know it's going to be gritty and action. And
I thought it was weird in Monkey Man that they threw in a slow, an even slower version of In the Air Tonight.
Right.
By Phil Collins. which is something I want to dive into when it comes to, like, these trends with trailers, but we can talk about it later. I thought that was an odd choice, especially with the first trailer, it having, like, great Indian music or Bollywood-style type music. I thought that that was a nice touch, and then they go to Phil Collins, the whitest man you'll ever meet, and I'm like, no.
I think because I think they have a quality movie, but I don't think it resonates with audiences outside of Hindi, Indian, Pakistan location. Yeah. So it's not going to hit with those audiences. So they've got to find a way. And there are very few things in this world that get me more excited than In the Air Tonight.
Of course.
There are very few things in this world that get me to clap quietly to myself and go, ooh. Harold and the Purple Crayon was nice.
Yeah.
It looks nice. It's hard.
It's not the type of nice we want, right?
Right.
We're not going, that's a nice movie. We're going, it's nice.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think, but we're also, like, obviously not into these types of movies. Right. So it's not for us. That's fine. I'm sure that it'll, we'll hear better things about it in the coming future.
But my winner for this week was the Beetlejuice 2 teaser.
That's the one that did it?
They spent $100 million making this movie. They brought back everyone. They brought back the house. They brought back the model of the town. Mm-hmm. They've done all these things. Like, it's just nostalgia. Put it in my veins. This is... It's not on the same level of the things we've seen with Top Gun and these things, like,
sure,
hitting all of it, but it's enough. Just give it to me. I'm ready for this.
All right. All right.
And then, yeah, what's her face is fine. You got to have a young character to be like, oh, I'm scared.
Oh, Jenna Ortega. Yeah. She'll be the new, I forget the other actress's name. Shoot, she's spacing on me now. From the first movie.
Yeah, she'll be the...
She's the placeholder of, like...
Teenage character. She's the...
Yeah.
She's the young, attractive, spooky one.
Yes.
But then I was like, well, we'll see. And then if it's going to work, they're going to show Michael Keaton at the end as Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how these work. And then Catherine O'Hara showed up, and I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, I am so in on this now.
Yeah.
Like, that was the one that I wasn't sure how she was going to be featured in it, if she was going to be, but she's one of the people that's now living in the house.
Right.
So you don't know if she's dead, if she's alive, if mm-hmm. she's living there out of fear for leaving or something. And right. I'm like, I'm in on this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't know this about you. You grew up with Beetlejuice. Like,
I mean,
it was a movie of, like, probably when you were younger, obviously, but it was some things that you probably
one of those things, but growing up in the Midwest, it was Michael Keaton. It was Tom Cruise. It was anything they were in, you watched, no matter how weird it was.
Right.
Kevin Costner, whenever he made a movie where he was a serial killer and everybody watched it and they're like, that was really weird, but Michael Keaton was really good. it was kind of scary, but he was
in a good way.
He was in it.
Yeah.
So it was nice. It was, you knew he was going to be revealed. If he wasn't in the first mm-hmm. 3 seconds, he was going to be in the last 3 seconds.
Right.
With these teaser trailers, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
They either hit you with the Top Gun, Tom Cruise in sunglasses at the very beginning, or they save it till the end, and then it's like a panning shot. And then it was Michael Keaton popping out of smoke. It's like, yep, that's what I came here for. That's exactly what I needed.
Well, between the slow song that they played that harkened back to the first movie, I'm spacing on that song now. I also watched that, and I think it was Fall Guy and Monkey Man back to back to back. And all three of them had, like, the trend of slowed down, iconic classic song for dramatic effect, for nostalgic effect. And I'm so over it. I'm so over that trend. I'm officially off the boat on it now. I've been teetering for a while, but now after watching three in a row, I'm like, guys, come on. Like, we gotta find a new trend here.
Kyle needs more Drake songs in his in his trailers.
Come on, get to the classics, the true classics. Miley Cyrus, anyone?
Yeah, that's where Kyle's at.
No, I don't know. I just, after like watching the three in a row before doing this, I was like, wow, okay, we are finally at the peak of this trend. I guess Beetlejuice, like, it was trying to play as like a joke because it's also like part of a joke from the first movie. But
right.
I don't know. Maybe that did work for people, but, you know, I'm not a fan of that.
Kyle's ready to move on. He's calling you out. Trailer editors, let's get this together.
This is your fault.
No more vintage songs.
Yeah,
slowed down for effect.
Yeah. Time for the movie voiceover guy. We're bringing that back.
Ooh, I like that guy. In the world.
Or make him sing the songs himself. Like, if you pivot towards that, I think that's a happy compromise.
Or like The Hangover, we just have Mike Tyson sing the songs.
Yes. He's the new voiceover guy. All right. I can do that.
I am 100% behind you. If, if we do this across the board, we'll have a year of Mike Tyson trailers, and then we'll go, we'll move forward. And then like in 2035, we'll be like, a trailer pops up and you're like, that was weird. That was a weird time, wasn't it?
Did it seem like Mike Tyson was in everything but didn't appear in everything?
Yeah, just did voiceovers for trailers with his weird high-pitched voice. It was just odd.
It's weird that Governor Mike Tyson was a voiceover guy in trailers for a second. You guys aren't ready for 2035. I've seen the future.
Presidential nominee Mike Tyson. Supreme Court Justice Mike Tyson.
So to sum up this episode of the podcast, we just saw so many trailers for movies that are about to come out after having like a great March, it seems like. So we still got plenty of great movies that are ahead, and even with me hating them for, you know, their trends, they still all look pretty good to me.
Right. And we're going to screen Civil War next week, and hopefully we'll have opening box office numbers for Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah. You almost had it.
I'm too slow. I don't have it in me.
It's at the start. You're confident at the start, and then you're like, oh, this is much longer than I thought.
It keeps going. This is the George Foreman movie all over again.
I thought Kong was four letters. How was it taking forever to get there?
Oh. All right. Well, on that note, have a great weekend, everybody. Big grosses for Ghostbusters, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Off the Break Podcast. Find us on all podcast platforms, and be sure to like and follow our Facebook and Instagram pages at Off the Break Podcast.